Welcome to Armed American Radio, brought to you by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every Sunday night, right here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. And now your host, Mark Walters.
Happy birthday, America. After 233 years, you finally get to listen to Armed American Radio. Congratulations. You are listening to Armed American Radio, brought to you every week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Visit us at www.usconcealedcarry.com. I am your host, Mark Walters, the Ordinary Guy columnist with Concealed Carry Magazine, the flagship publication of the USCCA. We're broadcasting tonight live on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA from the beautiful Buckhead section of Atlanta, Georgia. Our producer and board operator is Eugene Bright. The numbers, should you wish to participate in this evening's show, 888-920-2665, 888-920-2665, or 770-226-0920 in the Atlanta area, 770-226-0920. Feel free to email me live on the program, mark@armedamericanradio.org, and we'll get you out there live and get your question on the air, mark@armedamericanradio.org. Folks, if you missed us last week, we had a heck of an announcement. The program is going syndicated next week. We will be available. What'd you say, Gene? We're going to come, instead of broadcasting up on the stick, we're going to be broadcasting up on the Big Bird and sending the program out across the country to anybody interested in carrying us, and we will be making some announcements next week with some affiliates. We are extending our reach across the country, and that's a beautiful thing. So thanks, everybody out there, for making that possible for us. Keep calling and emailing and harassing those talk radio stations in your area. Please direct them to www.armedamericanradio.org, where there's a special tab up there for Become an Affiliate that we've just added, with information for production managers, program directors, and station managers, so that they can come in and check out Armed American Radio, listen to some of the programs, and get us up in your neck of the woods on your dial. Thanks again for everybody, and I'm going to read a couple more comments that that came in this week as well. Let's see here. What have we got to do? We've got so much in here. We're going to try to cover everything that we can tonight. I'm going to read a couple comments. Now, I had to do this in my own chicken scratch here, in my own hand, because the website was unable to come up at the station. We are doing live radio, so if you hear me him and haw and can't read my own handwriting, I don't have the luxury of the teleprompter, like the teleprompter socialist-in-chief Barack Hussein Obama does. So if you hear me stumble a little bit, it's because we're real people here. E.J. Musa. Yes, sir. That's exactly what it sounds like in my book, too. E.J. Musa. E.J. Musa says, an excellent new program on the threat to gun rights and what you should be doing about it. Great stuff. Keep up the great work. Average Joe 2. Average Joe 2 says, we now have another voice for freedom-loving Americans. That's great to hear. Sharon H. Wow, first of all, I would like to comment. See, can't read my own chicken scratch. First of all, I would like to comment on how good I think the show is. It is interesting, educational, and fun to listen to. Sharon H., thank you very much, wherever you may be out there in the land of freedom. Roberto says, great show, guys. Looking forward to becoming a fan. Roberto, we hope you have crossed that line and are now a fan. And my favorite one of all, and this is a negative one, but it really makes me feel good to know that we're kind of scratching the itch of the liberal wackos out there when we get a comment like this that comes on. And this is from somebody. Well, I'll tell you about the name last. I'm going to read this twice because I want to point some things out. You'll get a kick out of this. Let me read it straight up. It says, I don't see how some people get off on these types of shows, but it shows how low-level thinking some people are. Wow, a show where some Southern-sounding guys, I didn't know I was Southern-sounding guys, sit around and talk about their love and rights to carry their big, bad guns around. Listening to this show scares me of how trashy some people are, but in a way, it helped me open my eye about how important education is. After hearing this, I'm gonna work extra hard to make sure my kids get a education, because it'll be sad for them to end up like these guys. Now, he signed it Shandon, S-E-A-N-D-O-N, but based on what I'm going to read you now, I'm not sure he spelled his name properly. Okay, so let's go back and read this and give you some of the errors in here. You'll get a charge out of this, especially if you went to school. I don't see how some people get off on these types of shows, but it shows how low-level thinking some people are. Wow, a show where, spelled W-A-R-E, some Southern-sounding guys sit around and talk about their, T-H-E-R-E, love and rights to carry their big, T-H-E-R-E, their big, bad guns around. Listening to this show scares me, S-C-A-R-I-E-S, of how trashy some people are, but in a way, it helped me open my eye about how important education is. After hearing this, I'm going to work extra hard to make sure my kids get education because, B-E-C-U-Z, it'll be sad for them to end up like these guys. And I said M in there before because he didn't put an apostrophe between the I and the M, so it's really truly pronounced M. You know, Shonden, I don't think you're, I would stay away from the spelling bees. I don't think you're going to get in there. Yeah, somebody's going to beat you on the spelling bees. It's a great call, though, for getting your kids a better education. At least get them a GED for crying out loud. So I can assume somewhere out there we've got...
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Bingo. He communicated effectively. I could read what he was saying. But apparently we have a one-eyed liberal who isn't anywhere near winning a spelling contest anytime soon out there listening to us. So, Shonden, thank you very much. We do appreciate those comments, believe it or not. It's fun to get letters like that because it knows that we're it makes us realize that we are having an impact out there. So it's good to know. It's good to know. Folks, we got a heck of a show lined up tonight. I have two tremendous guests with me this evening. I've got John Pierce of opencarry.org. opencarry.org. John Pierce joins us here in just a couple seconds, as well as Philip Van Cleve, the head of the Virginia Citizens Defense League. Now, these guys have had an impact across the country as probably the most powerful grassroots organization in the United States. Phil's got a lot to talk about. I've written a column about him in the past, interviewed him for the magazine, and he's got a lot to say. And both of them, I welcome you both to Armed American Radio this evening. Welcome to the program, my friends.
Hey, Mark. Good to be here.
Hey, Mark, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure, you guys. You know, we talked earlier today. We only have an hour, so let's get right into the meat of where we're going to go tonight. Phil, I want to start with you real quick. VCDL is, in my book, probably the most powerful grassroots organization in the country today. I think most other grassroots organizations out there, Buckeye Firearms, Ohioans for Concealed Carry, great groups, GeorgiaCarry.org, I think you had a tremendous impact on them. Can you tell us about how the VCDL formed and its mission?
Okay, sure. We were formed back in late 1994. It was a time in Virginia when we had May issue, when it was up to judges to issue permits. And in some cases, women couldn't get permits or men couldn't get permits or they would only get permits to the judge's buddy. It was a very unfair kind of thing. And so we decided, basically a lot of the people that were formed the group back then, that it was time to do something. The big organizations were saying, no, Virginia isn't ready. We need to wait till, you know, we have Republicans in control of the House and Senate. At that time, the Democrats were in control. And the view of our founder was, hey, you know, we need to make the time right. We don't want to wait for the time. We're going to make it right, and we're going to do it now because we're tired of waiting. And so VCDL was formed at the time, and it was called NVCDL, Northern Virginia Citizens Defense League, because most of the 30 initial members were from Northern Virginia. But they had to begin somewhere, and they began there. And that very year, they got the law changed to be shall issue.
Phil, Georgia Carry, I had Ed Stone on the inaugural program back in April, and I asked him how Georgia Carry was formed, and he said it was formed in the back of a Shoney's, if I remember correctly, with about four or five guys. Where were you when this idea cropped up?
Well, VCDL was formed by Paul Moog and some other key members, like our current vice president was part of the initial group, Jim Snyder and so forth. And at that time, I wasn't yet into gun rights. I was going to come in 1 year later after they got this part of it done. I was like a lot of people. I was floating around. I had believed that what the media was saying about guns back in the 90s and 80s. And I was a gun owner, but I didn't know I was being lied to. The problem was that once I learned that we now could get permits, I went out and, I mean, I remember where I was standing, what the room looked like, what I was wearing the minute I heard the television say that I could now get a concealed carry permit. I mean, it was that shocking of an event. And I immediately signed up, went and got a, you know, get a permit. I had to wait 90 days. It seemed like 90 years back then. But during that time, I studied, read a lot of books, and that's when I suddenly realized, as I read gun magazines, what had happened, how I'd been lied to and cheated and by the government, by the educational system, by everywhere you turn telling me my Second Amendment right really wasn't an individual right, and that, as a gun owner, I needed to hide in the closet.
Phil, that's a bold statement, lied to and cheated by the federal government.
Yeah, yeah, I call it like it is. And, you know, I looked at that and I said to myself, you know, I'm not going to tolerate this. They've now made an enemy, somebody that's going to make damn sure that as few people as possible down the road end up in the mode that I was in. So I went, basically that first year, I decided I didn't really know who to hook up with. So I just walked out of the General Assembly, decided as a one-man team I was going to go in there and start working the issue. And I walked in the door and I ran into the one-year-old NVCDL members. And they took me under their wing, and I just took off like a duck to water, and that was.
And
that
as they say,
it.
The rest is history, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just loved it. It was perfect match all the way around.
Well, John, tell us about your relationship. I know you're heavily involved with VCDL as well.
Well, that's right. I'm the webmaster of VCDL as well as an executive member, and as you mentioned earlier, I think VCDL is the most successful at this point state level gun rights organization in the country, and I learned a great deal, and a lot of my influential years in terms of helping me to shape my beliefs and strategies about how individuals could make a difference were directly impacted by Phil and by Jim Snyder and the other board members at VCDL. It really is a wonderful organization, and I should add to one of the things that Phil said about the government lying to you and about how the media misinformation really does a disservice to people, and that is, I was actually reading on the Drudge Report earlier today about this serial killer that's stalking some South Carolina town, and they were talking about how this man and his 15-year-old daughter in their business had been killed by this serial killer. And it suddenly struck me how many people across this country
John, I need to ask you to hold that thought.
Of course.
Apologize. Hang on. We got some music here. We're getting ready to go to the break. Everybody, you're listening to Armed American Radio, and we'll be back in just a couple seconds.
Seen him on Fox News, heard him with Bill Bennett. Now have lunch with conservative boy wonder Jonathan Crone, along with the new face of Jim Wooten's Thinking Right column, Kyle Wingfield, and WGKA's Joel Aaron at the next WGKA Power Lunch, the new face of conservatism. Lunch is only $15, and you must RSVP in advance at 920WGKA.com. The WGKA Power Lunch, Tuesday, July 7th, 11:30 to 1:15 at Brio Tuscan Grill in Buckhead.
Attention all consumers who now carry a balance on your credit cards. Recently, credit card issuers mailed out notification that interest rates will go up, in some cases as high as 30%, if a single payment is missed. It's true. Increased credit card rates mean more money for the banks and higher payments for you. Remember, credit card companies will now raise your rates if you're late on just one payment. If the tight economy has you leaning too heavily on plastic, it's time for you to stop and call Trinity Debt Management for a free consultation at 1-800-793-9159. You don't have to live with credit card debt. Trinity can put an end to compulsory rate hikes and reduce your interest by as much as 60%. You'll save thousands while consolidating all your credit card bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Call 1-800-793-9159. 1-800-793-9159. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call 1-800-793-9159.
How much would you pay to get a really great night's sleep? During our summertime event, you can enjoy the life-improving benefits of a real Tempur-Pedic bed for just 25 cents per night. The new Advantage bed, backed by our industry-leading 20-year warranty, delivers Tempur-Pedic's famous comfort and support for just pennies per night. You deserve the best night's sleep you can get. You deserve a Tempur-Pedic. Call today or visit us online to find a retail location nearest you. Call 1-800-433-2720 or visit Tempur-Pedic.com. That's 1-800-433-2720 or Tempur-Pedic.com.
Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Extreme Hunting and Shooting Store. You have the right to protect yourself and your family. Exercise that right with Big Woods Goods' tremendous selection of handguns, rifles, and the latest self-defense products. We carry all the best in outdoor sports equipment and shooting accessories, and our knowledgeable staff is here to help. Get them what they really want this year with a gift certificate to Big Woods Goods. Hunting, sports, and self-defense. Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Highway 5 at Holly Springs and online at bigwoodsgoods.com.
Georgia Carey needs you. Visit georgiacarey.org to join Georgia's no-compromise voice for gun owners. Intimately involved in the passage of House Bill 89, allowing concealed carry in restaurants and state parks, GCO is currently fighting MARTA and the City of Atlanta on your behalf, as well as protecting your rights in local municipalities across the state, making sure your gun rights are not compromised. GCO needs your support. Join today by visiting georgiacarey.org. GCO, restoring your right to bear arms.
The switch is on. To 920 WGKA.
Come as you are, as you were, as I want you to be.
Welcome back to Armed American Radio, everybody, across the country. I want to read a quick comment here that came up on the armedamericanradio.org site from Ted Robb. I hope I'm saying that right. Ted, I hope I'm pronouncing your last name correctly, Ted Rabb or Ted Robb. You need a local station search so that we can find you on a local station. Ted, I'm in receipt of your email. I did get it a few minutes ago. I can't respond to it from this computer, but I will be sending you the information that you requested, and thank you very much for your help. John, welcome back.
Thank you.
Go ahead and continue that thought. I'm so sorry to have to interrupt you.
Well, no, I just wanted to bring that point to the forefront that Philip mentioned that. And earlier today, as I was reading that news report, it struck me how many people have died in this country because they believed the misinformation about gun rights that are fed to them by the media and by the anti-gun groups, and therefore did not have a firearm available for self-defense when they needed it. And that's really a tragedy.
It is. And that brings me to this. I was going to go into this with Phil. Phil, I'd like to get your comments on this. As the head of this dynamite grassroots organization, the head of Georgia Carey, Ed Stone, who's been a guest on this program and will be soon again, I'm sure, wrote a column in the Examiner. 1 year anniversary of HB 89 arrives without dire consequences. For listeners out there, HB 89 passed last year here in Georgia, expanding where we can carry lawfully with a Georgia pistol permit, and it also included restaurants. We're working on adding some more for the 2010 legislative session, and I'm really looking forward to that. But it went into effect a year ago, and Ed reminds us of these doom and gloom stats from these anti-gunners, John, that go right to what you just said. And I quote a couple. If you set aside 1 hour in the evening so the shooting will be between 10 and 11, we might be all right, said State Senator Steve Thompson, Democrat from Marietta. That way the other people could have their dinner and go home before the shooting starts. So here we got this ridiculous hysteria. Here's one. MARTA bus drivers already have 1,000 signatures on a petition demanding bulletproof shields should HB 89 be signed into law. Guys, it's crazy. Comments?
Well, yeah, and we see this every time, and I don't know how the anti-gunners get away with the fact they've been discredited over and over and over and over in just about every state. I guess it's the media that's in love with them that lets them get away with it. They wouldn't let us be discredited the way the anti-gunners are. And indeed, that's the basis. They don't have anything else but fear to try to sow on these issues. If you look at the 50 states and you look at all the states that have concealed carry, all of the states seem to have different places that are off limits and different places that are allowed. For example, in Virginia, I can't carry a gun into a school. I can have it in the parking lot as long as I'm in the car and the gun is concealed on me. But I can't go into the school at K through 12. Now, if I go to Utah, I can go right into the school. I could sit down in the classroom and talk to the teacher, all perfectly fine. And meanwhile, for example, some states like Texas, you can't carry in the General Assembly building. Well, in Virginia, you can carry in the General Assembly. And what I want to say is, you look at all the states, nothing happens in any of these places, in any of the states that allow the various locations. That really tells me that there's no place that should be off limits, because every state has proven that areas that are off limits in other states are actually just fine to let people carry there.
Well, Phil, we hear this, as Ed mentioned, we hear this every single time something about gun rights comes up. And he just closed this column with a beautiful comment. He says, at what point do honest, logical people cease paying attention to this stuff? At what point do we cease to ascribe the motivation for such speech to innocent and honestly good intentions? With 1 year of experience behind us involving hundreds of thousands of Georgia firearms license holders, any detached observer would have to conclude that these people have now lost all credibility by making such outrageous claims and predictions. You know, at some point, the anti-gunners who comment like this about the blood running in the streets, we heard this back in 1987 when Florida passed its groundbreaking laws, none of it comes true, Phil.
Yeah, we throw that up. I mean, I play that up every time I get in front of the General Assembly. I say, we've heard this before. It's never happened. They still don't know what's going on. And they're screaming now about national parks. Oh, the bears are all going to get shot and people are going to be dying all over the parks. And, of course, there were 3 months when we could carry, and there was no problem then. And when the new law comes into effect, the final law comes into effect in February, there won't be any shootings then either by law-abiding citizens unless it's to protect themselves.
Well, that's because they don't understand the difference between law-abiding citizen and criminal. And I've had Dane von Breichenruckhart, president of the U.S. Bill of Rights Foundation, on here who eloquently, very eloquently described what he believes the thought process is for these lunatics who just go hysterical. And they are. That's what they are. Let's call a spade here. They're lunatics. They go hysterical. They're nutcases. They talk about gun owners as nutcases because they don't understand the gun. Brady campaign, Paul Helmke made a comment, I've repeated it a number of times on this program, that we do not need, quote, we do not need any more dangerous people in our national parks. Phil and John, he's referring to law-abiding concealed permit holders as dangerous.
He thinks of us as criminal wannabes. That's how he thinks of us. He doesn't understand that there really are good people out there. I think it may reflect more on him than it does us. He's projecting probably his own internal thoughts and fears about how he would behave if he was armed.
You know, that's a great point.
Like you and I would behave.
I've never heard it said that way.
Exactly it. From a psychological perspective, we're seeing transference here. And no better illustration of that, in my experience, than a trip that I took to the General Assembly last year. And while a bill was being debated, several of the Virginia Tech parents were in the room, and they were actually standing beside where my wife and I and my children were sitting. And then there was a gentleman behind me who had brought a busload of people who was also an anti-gun group of people, and he stood and spoke against the bill. And then Phil and a number of other people lined up. There was a huge line of people to speak in support of the bill. And then they recessed for a time, and one of the Virginia Tech parents came over to me and said, you know, may I ask you a question? And were very polite, and they wanted to know why that I supported gun rights and didn't I see issues with gun rights. And the gentleman behind us who had spoken in an anti-gun fashion started talking to her and basically said the reason he was anti-gun was because he was under treatment for mental health problems, and many times he had had the desire to buy a firearm and kill people. And the look on her face as she realized that one of the people there to lobby with her was the same kind of person that had taken the life of all those people at Tech, I really wish I could have captured that moment on audio, but I had no such recording device with me. But I think transference is a large portion of why these people believe that gun owners are dangerous, because they believe that they themselves would be dangerous if they were to have the ability to defend themselves.
I've never heard the argument manifested in those terms, and that, from both you gentlemen, is an amazing perspective that I've never heard. I want to break here real quick because I got a email here from Gene Comer in Texas. Gene, appreciate you writing into us. Mark, great program. I'm hooked and can't wait for the next broadcast. Well, thank you, Gene. Question, I am a former Georgia resident now living in Texas. My Georgia concealed permit is still valid, plus I now hold my Texas CHL. Is there any reason to keep up my Georgia permit, or is my Texas reciprocity good enough going forward? Thanks and keep up the good work. Gene Comer in Texas. Guys, you want to attack that? And I have my own thoughts on that, but I'd love to hear your perspective.
I'm trying to think if Georgia honors Texas. I know that they honor states like New Hampshire, where you can get a permit as a Texas resident from New Hampshire for like $20.
They do. I travel to Texas on business quite a bit in reciprocity between the two states.
Then I would probably tell her there's no need to hang on to the Georgia permit. Let it expire. Texas has got pretty wide reciprocity. She may want to pick up a Utah or Florida permit to give her some more states, though.
Agreed, and that was going to be my comment. Gene, you probably want to pick up a Florida permit. Man, I'm telling you, right now, I, the host of Armed American Radio, woefully allowed my Florida permit to expire because I wasn't paying attention to what year it was, if you can imagine that. And because of that, I'm now having to go through the renewal process. No big deal. I'll be down there next week, and I'm going to go ahead and do the fingerprint thing. But Florida's is an important one, Phil. That's a great point. Or Utah, if you can get, I think Florida's a little bit easier to get than Utah from the NRA class, am I right?
Yeah, but Utah's cheaper by about half.
Ah, that's true. That's a good point. And the time right now, I think Utah is turning them around a lot quicker than Florida. They're so backed up down there. So, Gene, I hope we answered your question. Thanks very much for listening and being a fan. We appreciate it. Callers out there, 888-920-2665, 888-920-2665. Or 770-226-0920 in the metro Atlanta area, 770-226-0920. John and Phil, I want to talk with you about the Virginia Tech in more detail. That goes back personal to me. But before we do that, I want to jump over here to John about open carry. What a hot-button topic this is right now, John. And, you know, your organization, opencarry.org, is really having an impact here. Tell us a little bit about it, and then I'll kind of play devil's advocate and talk about some tactics between open and concealed carry.
Sure. Well, and I guess the first thing that I always like to mention to people when we talk about this is the real pushback that we often get against open carry is from actually pro-gun people, people who carry, but they prefer concealed carry, but they still consider themselves pro-Second Amendment advocates. And one of the things that people are just shocked if you tell them is that, in point of fact, the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, very clearly, the right that it enumerates is the right to openly bear arms. That is borne out in the Federalist Papers. It is borne out by the fact that over 10 of the U.S. states that have right to carry provisions in their state constitutions specifically exclude concealed carry from that right. And so concealed carry, which is a wonderful public policy vehicle, probably the most significant public policy improvement in my lifetime, but it is a state-granted privilege, whereas open carry is the Second Amendment. And that was laid out very clearly in the Heller decision that we saw last year. And so if you are pro-Second Amendment, you must be pro-open carry because that is the Second Amendment.
Couldn't have said it any better, and the timing to wrap that comment up was great. Music in the headphones, you're on Armed American Radio, everybody. We'll be right back after the break.
This is meteorologist Frank Strait from the WGKA Weather Center. Overnight will stay mainly cloudy with a couple of showers and thunderstorms in the area, low near 70. Staying mainly cloudy Monday, some more showers and thunderstorms around, high 82. Showers and thunderstorms will taper off Monday evening, becoming partly cloudy later at night, low 68. Warmer Tuesday with sun and a few clouds, high 88. Partly sunny and warm Wednesday and Thursday, high 90 both days. I'm meteorologist Frank Strait from the WGKA Weather Center, powered by AccuWeather.
President Obama ran on the platform of change.
Change has come to America.
But Dennis Prager isn't seeing any.
We live in a world of tremendous, tremendous lies, and that's the most dispiriting. And here is just another great example with Barack Obama saying the same things, having the same links to Saudi Arabia as President George W. Bush.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays from noon to 3 on Intelligent Talk 920, WGKA.
Georgia Carey needs you. Visit georgiacarey.org to join Georgia's no-compromise voice for gun owners. Intimately involved in the passage of House Bill 89, allowing concealed carry in restaurants and state parks, GCO is currently fighting MARTA and the City of Atlanta on your behalf, as well as protecting your rights in local municipalities across the state, making sure your gun rights are not compromised. GCO needs your support. Join today by visiting georgiacarey.org. GCO, restoring your right to bear arms.
Losing your hair is bad news. Denial doesn't help. I'm Brian Reichenberg with exciting news. If you've been waiting for science to create a miracle, our lab in Italy has just released Kevis 8. This is the world's first topically applied enzyme complex that targets DHT, the medically recognized cause of hair loss. For years, thousands have received amazing results with Kevus, and now it's even better. Clinically tested, new improved Kevusate promotes healthy hair growth for both men and women. Kevus can be used in conjunction with other products and treatments. Kevus, that's K-E-V-I-S. In celebration of our new 8th generation release, first 200 callers will receive 50% off plus an additional 30 days free. Call 800-245-HAIR. 800-245-HAIR. Call 800-245-HAIR. That's 800-245-HAIR.
Holding the anchor in the sea of change of our national dialogue, Georgia's Empowerment Radio is Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA.
Virginia Citizens Defense League is on a mission to root out every nugget of gun control it can detect in Virginia. It has been behind campaigns to make sure concealed weapons are allowed in local government buildings, even civic centers, and fought to open up state and local parks to concealed weapons. The Daily Press, November 27, 2006. And this one here, they're pretty effective. I have to give them credit. Jim Solo, chairman of Virginians Against Handgun Violence in the Virginian Pilot, November 11, 2002. Phil, it's got to make you feel good.
I had to laugh at those, because especially the one about the newspaper saying that we're out to root out all this stuff. Because they did that, of course, as a slam to us, to them, when they said that about us. Oh my gosh, these people want to allow guns in K-12 schools. They thought they were putting us down. Well, we saw that as a badge of honor, and that was indeed our mission. And we put that proudly on the website, and they got so mad at us, they ran another article about a year later slamming us for wanting to allow people to carry in other places, like libraries and stuff. And we said, great, now we got even more, and we put that on our website. And they were just furious that there was nothing. Every time they tried to put us down, it became a new advertising thing for us.
Isn't that great stuff? You know, you do. You got to wear that negative press with a badge of honor, because that's what it means. That's why I read that ridiculous comment from Shonden. You know, when you're getting comments like that and you're scratching the liberals' itch, you know you're making some headway. There's progress being made because they're listening, okay? So, Shonden, please, right back. We like that stuff. Phil, this is close and near and dear to my heart. I've got a long history with the state of Virginia personally. I graduated college in 1984 from Radford University, about 9 miles down the road from Blacksburg and Virginia Tech. Know the area very well. I have family up in the northern Virginia area. And lived in Richmond for quite some time, as you know, as well as Virginia Beach. Very familiar with the Virginian Pilot and everything going on up there. So, it's close to my heart. Virginia's been there in my life for quite some time. Something that I want to ask you, and that is, after the Virginia Tech shooting, Phil, everything up there changed, didn't it? How did you, because the press became, they just came crawling out of the woodworks, obviously, and you guys found yourself in a very unique situation being as powerful as you are after such an incredibly high-profile tragedy. What did you change, what happened, and how did you respond?
Well, yeah, first of all, the phone rang. The VCDO line rings on my desk. So the phone rang solid for 2 days, day and night. It was ringing at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. It went on all day and all night. I lost 4 pounds in 2 days because I really didn't get up much to eat. There wasn't much else. I just ran to the bathroom, ran back, and worked the phones. All reporters calling from all around the world on this. And the press after Virginia Tech, I got a call by from one of the newspapers, and the reporter was kind of salivating. He was saying, well, now that you've had Virginia Tech and the Democrats have taken over the Virginia Senate, leaving only the House and the Republican control, he said, now what's going to happen? He said, what's going to happen to your gun agenda now that that's happened? And I told him, I said, well, actually, I think we may actually make more headway this year than we have before, because we lost a bunch of Republicans that weren't worth a darn and replaced them with some pretty good Democrats from conservative areas in the state. And sure enough, we fought harder than ever. And that very year that we had the shooting at Virginia Tech, we crushed the gun show loophole bill, which is what the antis were putting all their cards on. And we actually got, for the first time ever, a repeal to the restaurant ban, where you can't carry concealed in a restaurant. You have to open carry. We got the concealed permission up on the governor's desk. He ended up vetoing it. But we did all of that during the year when Virginia Tech hit, and that was gun owners. We got together at the General Assembly, and we had something called Lobby Day, and we had almost 300 people there, it was almost 400 that year, flood the General Assembly on Martin Luther King, his birthday, and the whole building was flooded with people with Gun Saves Lives stickers on, and that tremendous influx of people truly changed the dynamics at the General Assembly.
You know, the All Barack Channel, ABC, or the Appease the Brady Campaign, whichever one you want, whichever moniker you want to use there, you know, with that ABC hit piece, I'm sure you saw it, you know, toting around their relatives, the victims' relatives, John. How does a tragedy like that impact, or did it have any impact on the open carry movement? Because now you're talking about openly carrying a gun versus carrying one concealed under your shirt like I am.
Well, you know, I actually, living not too far from Virginia Tech at the time, excuse me, I actually was more than a little bit concerned about what kind of reaction would happen. And to the credit of both law enforcement and Virginians, I did not really see any change in that. I did, however, have two comments that I think need to be said. One is, I believe that in a state that had a less well-organized state rights group than VCDL, the anti-gunners would have been able to make serious hay with such an event. And I give all the credit to Phil and VCDL for preventing that from happening in Virginia. But number two, I have a friend whose daughter is just now in her second year at Virginia Tech, and when she started her first year, he made the comment to me that the Virginia Tech tragedy had made him realize that you're handing your children over to people that are supposedly going to be their protectors, and in point of fact, no one can be a protector if they're helpless themselves. And I think a lot of Virginians actually saw that message emerge from this very much the same way that Texans saw that message emerge from the Lubish shooting with Susanna Gracia Hupp.
Let me say that we also went on the offensive big time when that happened. We didn't stand down and kind of cower in a corner and just wait for the thing to blow over. We came out right off the bat and came back with a strong offensive. We pointed out that if just one student had been allowed to be armed, and we'd gotten a bill in twice in a row right before the tragedy, and they both got killed in committee, we said if one of those bills had passed and somebody had been armed, it would have stopped the shooting. And I came out with that right away, and basically the press kind of took a step back that we were being aggressive about pointing out that it was the failure of government that was a key part of this whole thing, and that an armed student could have stopped it or an armed teacher. And, in fact, the governor then basically accused me of riding some kind of a political hobby horse, that I was taking advantage of a tragedy. No, I was pointing out the facts. He later on became the person that loved to ride the hobby horse as he tried to use this tragedy to quote-unquote close the gun show loophole, which didn't exist and had nothing whatsoever to do with the tragedy.
Well, it's always the liberals. I say liberals. Let me correct myself on that. It's always the anti-gunners.
Yes.
Not every liberal is anti-gun.
Very good gun owners, but it's the anti-gunners that have the weird mentality.
Yeah, so I correct myself on that. And, you know, this is a good time to read this email that just came in. Hi, Mark. I have to remind you that it is a anti-pro-gun issue, not a Democrat-Republican issue, and Obama is anti-gun. Here in Florida, we carry in state parks, no problems. A northerner on vacation swimming in a state park was attacked by an alligator and killed. I remember that. That got the gun carry started. Gun permits are running about 6 months behind in Florida. Keep up the great work. Keith in Sarasota. Keith, thanks for that. And you know, for that, that's a good reminder, Phil, and I want to mention this, that even though the House and Senate in Washington are in firm Democrat control right now, we still have a pro-gun majority.
Yeah, and let me tell you this. Back when VCDL was first formed as NVCDL, I alluded to this, when we went to shell issue from May issue, it was the House and Senate were controlled by Democrats. We had a Republican governor, and that was it, and that's when we got the bill passed. So, no, we've had Democrats carrying very important bills for VCDL. And we'll continue to do that. So you're right. I don't view liberal, liberal conservatives as any part of this. I know conservatives that don't understand gun rights.
Yeah, it's not a liberal conservative thing. And, you know, I get involved in the politics here. And, you know, every once in a while, you can't help it. Guns is a hot button political issue here. And but it's not. It really isn't. We do need to be reminded of that. So, Keith in Sarasota, thanks for bringing that to the forefront. That's a great point. What do we got, less than a minute before we go to break?
Mark, if you've got less than a minute, one quick thing I'd like to mention.
Go right
ahead. One of your earlier emailers had asked about keeping his Georgia permit versus Texas.
Yes, sir.
I should point out the only state that a Georgia permit gives you that Texas does not is New Hampshire. If he travels to New Hampshire or has plans to do so, there might be value in keeping his Georgia permit.
Depends on what it costs. New Hampshire's only $20 for 5 years.
Yeah, it did. You're right. It went from $10 to $20 when I got my New Hampshire. It went from $10 to $20 just recently, I think. Is that right?
It sounds right to me. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, if you've got Gene, if you're listening out there, you can get a New Hampshire permit. If you're interested in that one state or you happen to travel up there on business, you can get a New Hampshire permit real cheap. All they require is a photocopy of your current license, $10, and fill out the application, and it comes back in about, I think, 2 to 3 weeks. Now, you know, that may be a little bit different now since the election and since guns are flying off the shelves. I'm hearing some music in my headset. We're getting ready to take a break. You're on Armed American Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back with Phil Van Cleve and John Pierce.
I'd like to say a few words about my old pal, Tom. Tom was always dependable. If you needed to move a couch, call Tom. When tickets fell into my lap, Tom was my guy. Yeah, I miss him. And frankly, I blame myself. I mean, I was the one who told him he should be smarter about dating. I was the one who told him to call the professionals at It's Just Lunch. It's not like those internet deals I told him. It's easy, and a real-life person matches you up with someone you'll dump your buddies for. How should I know he'd take my advice? But he did. He called It's Just Lunch, and now, well, it's all sorry. Sorry, man, I've got plans, I'd love to, but got another date that night, so, yeah, nice work, It's Just Lunch. Thanks to you, it looks like I'll be re-sodding the yard myself next weekend.
At It's Just Lunch, we make dating fun and easy for busy singles. Take time out of your busy life and have some fun.
Call 800-343-5555, 800-343-5555. When calling, mention 920 WGKA to take advantage of an exclusive WGKA listener special offer.
Does tax debt leave you consumed with worry? Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? If you're tired of feeling stressed over your tax problems, turn to Tax Debt Bailout now for a free review of your situation. Call 1-800-523-9771. If you're facing back taxes, wage garnishment, a tax lien, bank levy, audit, or property seizure, let our tax relief specialists deal with the IRS so you don't have to. Tax debt bailout saves taxpayers like you precious time and millions of dollars every year. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, know your rights and take action. For peace of mind and your free review, call the Tax Debt Bailout now at 1-800-523-9771. That's 1-800-523-9771. Don't wait another minute. Call 1-800-523-9771.
Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Extreme Hunting and Shooting Store. You have the right to protect yourself and your family. Exercise that right with Big Woods Goods' tremendous selection of handguns, rifles, and the latest self-defense products. We carry all the best in outdoor sports equipment and shooting accessories, and our knowledgeable staff is here to help. Get them what they really want this year with a gift certificate to Big Woods Goods. Hunting, sports, and self-defense. Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Highway 5 at Holly Springs and online at bigwoodsgoods.com.
Georgia Carey needs you. Visit georgiacarey.org to join Georgia's no-compromise voice for gun owners. Intimately involved in the passage of House Bill 89, allowing concealed carry in restaurants and state parks, GCO is currently fighting MARTA and the City of Atlanta on your behalf, as well as protecting your rights in local municipalities across the state, making sure your gun rights are not compromised. GCO needs your support. Join today by visiting georgiacarey.org. GCO, restoring your right to bear arms.
No silly gimmicks, no nonsense. Atlanta's best traffic coverage is on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA.
Back live on Armed American Radio with John Pierce of OpenCarry.org and Philip Van Cleve, Virginia Citizens Defense League. Gentlemen, coming up to the final segment of the program, let's try to move real quick here. I hate this, as we talked about earlier. It's just never enough time, but we're working on that. Stick around with us, I promise. We'll make some changes. John, I want to play a little bit of devil's advocate here as a concealed carry permit holder. Now, you're familiar with Georgia law. You may or may not be.
Only somewhat.
Okay, in Georgia, as long as you have a firearm permit, you can carry open. It does not distinguish between concealed or open carry. Without the permit, you cannot. Okay, now that's a topic for, you know, another program. However, I do have the right with a firearm permit in Georgia to carry my gun openly. I have done it from time to time. But it's not something that I do from a tactical standpoint because I feel it gives up some advantage that concealed carry offers. And I'm sure you hear that all the time. Like you mentioned earlier, most of what you hear negative about open carry comes from gun carriers and pro-gun folks. But from a tactical standpoint, okay, what give me your gut feeling on that. What do you hear and how do you answer that?
Well, let me give you two quick answers to that. The first answer is simply this. You know, if we're talking a paid assassin who is entering the room and is going to take out the armed person first, you know, some scene from a movie, then perhaps that is in fact true. But in the real world, criminals seek easy prey. And when they see someone who they do not believe will be easy prey, they move on to someone else who will be easy prey. And a great story is actually told by one of the members of the VCDL board who was open carrying at his bank, as he does every time he goes to his bank, and he was chatting friendly with the clerk at the bank, open carrying, when suddenly she flinches. He asked her what's wrong, and she described that behind him in the doorway, a man with a ski mask had ran in the bank, saw his openly carried firearm, slid to a halt, turned and fled back out the door. He had stopped a bank robbery and didn't even see the man.
Yeah, that's not surprising. And your answer to that, you know, Gene is sitting over here shaking his head, yes, listening. That's a tremendous point, a very valid point. And it counters the argument that we hear from time to time, you know, well, you're giving up that tactical advantage. Well, yeah, you know, maybe depending on the situation, I think we can all conjure up an idea.
Exactly.
But you're right, in real life, Phil.
Exactly. In fact, I had an occurrence. I had myself, along with Dennis O'Connor, we were in a town called Suffolk, and downtown Suffolk, which isn't necessarily the best place to be.
Know it well.
We went for a walk at like 11 p.m., and we were on the street by ourselves, and on the opposite side, there was somebody coming with really, you know, somebody in there like 20 years old with baggy clothes and just looking really funny, and he saw us, and the next thing I know, he's making a beeline across the street, and he takes his hand, and he tucks it up under his clothes, and he's staring at us intently, and both Dennis and I immediately sensed something was about to go down bad, and we were both open carrying, but he couldn't see that yet, and Dennis dropped back, so I became the guinea pig as I walked forward, and he dropped back a little bit. And as soon as this guy crossed onto the street right in front of me and he looked down and saw my gun and then looked over and saw Dennis's, everything changed. Everything. He looked another way. He was trying anything to be distracting, and he went right by us and disappeared into an alley. The idea there was, if we had been carrying concealed, to this day I truly believe I would probably have had to draw that gun and use it. And this way I didn't even have to touch it. He realized what he was dealing with, and he didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah, you know, I drew my gun out of concealment from behind my vehicle, you know, passenger or driver's seat from behind my steering wheel in an attempted carjacking against myself back in 2002. And, you know, it was funny. In hindsight, the look on their face when the gun was drawn, I have to believe that if the gun was visible prior to, they probably would have turned and walked away, guys.
That's my belief. It's rare that they want to pick a fight. Why would they want? Well, if I go to an ATM, I open carry. If I have to go outside the car, because a criminal looks at that and he goes, why would I put my life on the line to go after this guy? I know he's got a gun, he's always armed. Why don't I just wait till the next sucker comes along and go after them? They're afraid of getting hurt. Criminals don't mind hurting you. They have no empathy. They can't understand what another person is going through, but they really respect their own lives. And unless they're really high on drugs and totally out of it, where they might kill you anyhow, you know, that gun is going to turn everything around, and they may as well see it. Because if it's concealed, then you're forced to have to prove you got it.
Well, John, you know, there's a big myth about the Old West, and we're gonna dedicate a full program to the, you know, to the famous gunfighters of the Old West in the near future. Great topic and a lot of fun, just kind of ease things up a little bit. But, you know, there's a myth that the West was a very deadly place.
Well, it's interesting you mention that because, as you mentioned earlier, Ed Stone writes for Examiner. I also write a Gun Rights Examiner column. And one of my articles from a couple of months ago was called Dispelling the Myth of the Wild West. And I actually went down and pointed out that in Abilene, Ellsworth, Wichita, Dodge City, and Caldwell, all the major cow towns for the years from 1870 to 1885, there were only 45 total homicides over a 15-year period. And I finished the article by saying the truth of the matter is that the Wild West wasn't wild at all, not compared to a Saturday night in Baltimore.
In Chicago, Gun Ban Central, 6 shootings, what, last week? I wrote all about it on my blog. It's, you know, at some point in time, reality has to overcome hysteria. And you're absolutely correct about that, John. You know, I get out to Tombstone, Arizona on a regular basis. I open carry out there everywhere I go, including Phoenix from time to time. It depends on where I'm at in Phoenix. But, you know, most of the time I'm out in the desert, and it's not that big of a deal to me. You guys, I got a couple emails here that have come in I want to read real quick. The first one, hi, Mark, great show. I live in a rural area of Virginia, Phil, with severe ISP limits on the amount of audio and or video I can stream. Is your show available via FTA, free-to-air satellite? And, by the way, congratulations on syndication. I'll definitely be in touch with my local stations. That's Art in Evington, Virginia. I'm going to have to get you an answer on that one. No? No? Okay. Real quick, guys, one more that we've got coming in here. You'll love this because you're being listened to all over the place, not just in the United States. Paul writes in, current non-resident New Hampshire price is $20, but take action on telling them not to go forward with a plan to raise that to $100, as is the current consideration by New Hampshire. Not surprising. Be good all day, Reverend Paul, Cherry Valley, Ontario, Canada. So we're everywhere again, Gene. That's a beautiful thing. So, guys, if you're listening, you're up in New Hampshire, and you got a personal stake in this, make a point. It matters, okay? Get involved. Guys, we've got 1 minute left. I want you to tout whatever you can. What have you got going on, Phil? We'll start with you at VCDL that people need to know about.
Well, we're working on, unfortunately, having to do a protest against the Republican Party, at least part of it, the 7th District, because they always hold a major event at a gun-free zone area called Innsbruck, and we're fed up with it, so they're going to have some picketing going on this year, and they're not going to like it.
Excellent. Get out to www.vcdl.org, right? vcdl.org.
Yes.
John,
right.
Real quick, about 15 seconds, tell us what you got cooking, what you want people to know.
People should come to opencarry.org and look at what we're doing currently in Wisconsin. We're trying to support people who are starting to exercise their open carry rights in Wisconsin.
Okay, that's a beautiful thing because Wisconsin, of course, everybody, is one of two states that has no right to carry a firearm concealed. And John and Phil, I want to thank you both very, very much. I can assure both of you it will not be the only time you're on the program. We appreciate your time very much and all of the efforts that both of you do on behalf of all of us as gun owners, wherever we may be in the United States. So thanks for joining us, everybody. Couple things I want to mention tonight. Next week on our first syndicated program, Dr. Bruce Eimer will be back for his second appearance. Appearance? On our program, our second appearance, where we're going to talk about the psychology of the criminal mind and how you can avoid an attack. Very important stuff. We're also very fortunate to have Pastor Ken Pagano of the New Bethel Church up in Louisville, outside Louisville, Kentucky, who made national news recently with his open carry event. Everybody, thanks for your efforts. Thanks for the calls and emails. Keep them coming. www.armedamericanradio.org, usconcealedcarry.com, and theamericangunfighter.com. You're on Armed American Radio, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio with your host, Mark Walters. Brought to you every Sunday evening by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Hear us next Sunday at 8 p.m. right here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. And to learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.